Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, we're showcasing the madman of Latin jazz, Eddie Palmieri. Eddie's a virtuoso piano player, a fabulous band leader, and one of the leading Latin jazz pianists on the scene. When he joined me back in 1997, he brought along one of the wildest rhythm sections we've ever had. Eddie, it's great to have you here.
Oh, it's my honor.
And Mary, now you've got to introduce the band. We've got your whole group here. Tell me their names, will you?
Okay, well, we'll start with El Capitán del Ritmo. The captain, his name is José Clauset.
Okay.
We'll go then to our bass, Mr. Hugo Durán from Puerto Rico. On congas tumbadoras, we have the phenom Mr. Richie Flores from Puerto Rico. And our special invited guest today is Mr. Mark Quiñones on bongos.
Gee, that's wonderful. And, well, I'm really dying to hear this. You know, this is exciting for me because I don't think of myself as somebody that's well-versed in this music. I love to listen to it. But I would really like to hear you play a tune with the whole group.
Well,
what's this one going to be?
This one's called Doña Teri. Doña Teri is a wonderful spiritual woman that lives in Puerto Rico. And I dedicate this composition to her in our CD, Vortex. It's the opening of the CD. And then we feature Mr. Richie Flores on congas. And it starts piano solo.
Okay, I'm ready for that. Well, that was pretty exciting stuff.
Oh, thank you. This is I would definitely have to put this in the category of the fusion of the 21st century.
Well, you know, there's so much going on. I mean, you play some wonderful jazz, wild chords, and then you get into that great rhythmic feeling, which, of course, me, being from England, I'm really not really good at that. I mean, playing it, I hear it. I mean, I love it. It's wonderful.
I am known, and I have made, you know, my living, you know, in this wonderful music business as a orchestra leader, a dance orchestra leader, a dance orchestra leader that loves extensions and variations and had extraordinary teachers, private teachers.
You mean when you were kids?
Yes. One of them was Miss Margaret Barnes, that she's in the Negro history books. She was a concert pianist, and she taught in Carnegie Hall, the studios in Carnegie Hall building.
Well, you must have been like a child prodigy.
Well, not really.
No?
But my brother was really the great pianist that he was. He was 9 years old, and he took me to Miss Margaret Barnes. I had already the two different teachers earlier because my mother believed in the liberal arts and music being a predominant in the liberal arts. Well, certainly we were on the piano. But I always wanted to be a drummer. So by 13 and 15, I played timbales with my uncle who had a folkloric conjunto, which means a tres, that's the guitar with double string octaves. Okay, the tres that was very famous in Cuba by Arsenio Rodriguez and certain great players that we have here. And a second guitar that sang, a player, bongo, conga, another uncle of mine. And I'm 13 years old on the timbales, and I wanted to be my brother's drummer.
So you're already absolutely steeped in this stuff. I mean, it's like you're living it
right
every day.
Well, of course. And then on Sundays or every other Sunday or once a month, my father would take us down, my uncles and my brother, back to Harlem where I was born, because I was raised in the Bronx. By the year when I was 5 years old, I was brought to the Bronx by about 1941. And going back now, you know, like around 8, 9 years old, right after the war, there was a gentleman that would record at his home, and we would record. My uncles would sing tangos and play. They all played guitar. They were natural musicians that were quite extraordinary in their own right. So sure enough, that's how it all blends in. And then eventually I go back on the piano, and I meet another great teacher called Claudio Saavedra, who shows me the complete independence of each finger. How difficult that is at the command, hitting all fingers to the keyboard of 3/8 of an inch to the keyboard, and then in the man picking them up 3 and 4, and they must pick up and trill. The right hand, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah, I used to do something like that years ago.
And that led to independence of the hands.
It's a great
more.
Exercise, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was wonderful. And then, sure enough, that helped me tremendously until I then bumped into one of the greatest teachers that I've ever could have had. His name was Bob Bianco, who passed away. But he took me into the harmonic jazz world, and he also introduced me to the Joseph Schillinger system of music.
So you're really into classical music as well as
well, I had music. I had a because of the teachers again, okay? But what happens is that the most difficult and most complicated rhythmical patterns which we comprehend that have over 40,000 years of existence and that were brought in mostly because in a 300-year span, Mariam, there was approximately almost 12 million Africans that were brought to the New World. They were never allowed their drum, fear of communication, fear of revolt, fear of everything you could think of. As they evolved into the American Negro, the Africanism in them certainly was diminished completely to the degree that was still existing in the Caribbean. And that's merely because the Spaniard that brought that African to the Caribbean, particularly Cuba, that Spaniard had been conquered by that African for 700 years when the Moors went into Spain in the year 711.
My God, I'm getting a history lesson here.
Well, it's just that I probed it deeply because I love it so. And everything is, as the first book of Schillinger, the theory of rhythm, everything we do is rhythm. And these complex rhythmical patterns united in a compositional form of jazz, and now you have what we call what I call the fusion of the 21st century that started in the late 40s when Mr. Mario Bauza, the musical director of the orchestra, of the Machito Orchestra, right, introduced Chano Pozo to the one and only Mr. Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. So, well, it's all wonderful to hear about, and I wish we were on TV because watching you getting into the music, and I mean, I've seen you on TV, but no wonder they, what is it, they call you the madman of Latin music. I mean, I can see why they do, because I've never seen anybody get into it the way you do.
I'll perform a competition for you called Liza, which has to do with a composition I wrote for the daughter of my attorney, Mr. David Lubel, his daughter, Lisa. But Lisa in the African mythology in certain tribes means the sun. And I was using some forearm techniques like Henry Cowell introduced, mm-hmm, and using if it was the internal combustion within the sun. And then we went into a composition called Lisa.
Are you going to play that for me?
Just for you.
Please, dying to hear it. Thank you. that's very dramatic. And that's Lisa.
Yeah,
she's some woman, isn't she?
She's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, you combine so many things in there, some jazz, but, you know, in a couple of places, it reminded me of Cecil Taylor. Have you?
I was warned not to listen to Cecil Taylor by the great Barry Rogers, who passed away.
Oh, really?
He was our great trombonist that worked with me. And those were the years of the late 61 to 68. And he told me that that's the only pianist, jazz pianist, that he didn't want me to hear. He had enough trouble with me as it was.
Well, it's too late. You don't have to hear him because you do your own thing.
No, what happened was, we worked at 7th Avenue South that belonged to the Brecker Brothers many years ago.
Yes.
And Mr. Cecil Taylor came to say hello and listen, and we talked, and I told him the story. We had a wonderful time.
No, he's a great guy. Well, just so you know what's going on in here, it's a pretty exciting day. My guest is Eddie Palmieri. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. You know what would really be fun would be if we could do a tune together and you could show me something that I could do to fit in with your group.
Oh, you'll fit in perfectly. I'm telling you, we have a composition just suited for you, you won't believe it, entitled Definitely In.
Okay, great. Thank you. I would say that definitely was in.
Ah, you see? I told you.
See, well, you're a good teacher.
No, a sincere student.
Well, sincere at any rate, you know. I mean, it's hard to play because watching you takes up a lot of my time. I mean, talk about body language. You're a very visual player.
But I was enjoying your solo. Did you see how you fit right in? It was perfect.
Well, but you know, it's such a different kind of group to play with. I mean, I've done things like, well, you know, like club dates where you play a mambo or you play a rumba or you play a tango and you go, you know, things like, I mean, that was the extent of Latin music that I heard years ago. So
this comes, if I'll bring you back what we left off before, just to keep going as far as the essence, this then becomes what the Spaniard, when they superimpose now also the language on the African and their deities of the Catholic religion, they'll see like Santa Bárbara, that's on a horse with a machete, and to them with Chango, which is known as Xango in Brazil. And it becomes such an extraordinary mythology, which is absolutely beautiful, no? And from there comes these rhythmical patterns that the evolution and the crystallization of those rhythmical patterns that came out of Cuba in particular, because the rest of the Caribbean, like Puerto Rico, has plena, bomba. Plena is the circumference of the conga drums, but you could run with them and hide. They were like tambourines, see? You can't run with three congas on your shoulders or two congas, you know? And the ordinance was against playing the drum, but they were more flexible in the location of Cuba.
But, I mean, these were ways you could, like, talk to each other on the drums.
Of course,
they?
Because there were different African tribes, members that were brought in, so their language and their dialects were completely different. So the drum was their common denominator. And by allowing them to play the drum, their lament at night gave us the most incredible rhythmical pattern that the world has danced to, the bolero, the guajira, the song montuno, the cha-cha, the mambo first, then the cha-cha-cha. And that all comes from the mother rumba. The word that the Spaniard gives the African that he sees is rumba flamenco. But they take away flamenco and they make a rumba de la calle, you know, and rumba has three derivatives: guaguancó, yambú, and columbia. These are three different rhythmical patterns that come from the mother rumba.
Well, now, when you're playing, do you play a lot of, not only clubs, but you must play places for people to dance to this music?
Not as much as I used to. When I first started, I was that dance orchestra leader. Now we're doing, under the jazz umbrella, which I've been quite fortunate to be able to perform concerts, we see that we have the sitting, listening audience. How do you excite them in that chair? I learned it intuitively within the competition, but then I learned it scientifically with Mr. Bob Bianco in the Schillinger system. There's a receiving apparatus of the audience that are listening, and we are the active transmitter.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can tell when you're playing in front of an audience, you get, you know, vibes from the audience. I guess that's what I call
it. Of course.
You can really, you know, if they're listening or if they're with you, or and
yes,
it kind of makes you know what you're going to play or how you're going to play.
Of course.
Of course, in my own case, I don't have all these instruments. I just have the piano. So I've got to try them.
Which is the essence of the most difficult form of any kind of playing of any instrument, and particularly the piano. So the solo piano, which I admire so much. My brother was quite prepared in that. I am working towards that, and listening to you play and all the great jazz pianists that we know and have heard throughout the years certainly have opened up that wonderful spectrum of jazz solo piano.
Well, I'm going to have a go at playing something for you. Is that okay?
Oh, and I'm here to listen.
I mean,
I will take my lesson, particularly when I saw you take off your jacket. Then you put fear in me, my darling.
I'm not taking anything else off. All right, I'm going to play something for you. At the moment, I don't know what it is, but maybe I'll improvise something.
Okay, wonderful.
Thinking about you and your, what's the word, ebullient character, you know, full of fun and excitement and everything. How can I put that into a tune? I'll make up something.
I know you will. Thank you.
You're getting me going here.
Now you excited me watching you with an exciting transmitter playing
Jesus.
The keyboard.
In case you've just tuned in, my guest is Eddie Palmieri with his rhythm section. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. What are the essential ingredients for Latin music?
Well, again, the minute component must be the essential fundamental. It has to be your rhythmical pattern.
Yeah.
Because each one has its own world. And when we played that first composition, Doña Teddy, you saw that with up-tempo. When we played Definitely In, it's a medium tempo. Like what we call the cha-cha-cha movement. But you saw that we had a straight four as far as the jazz, and you were quite comfortable in it. And but the more you know and the more you're comfortable with the rhythmical patterns that we comprehend, then you're able to put together these compositions that are very, very exciting, in my opinion.
Well, let's do another piece. There's something here that you've got in mind to do.
But let's... we'll change the mood a little bit, and let's do a ballad.
Okay.
And I wrote a composition entitled Bolero Dos, which means the two of us in a bolero rhythmical pattern with the rest of the rhythm section, Mr. Jose Clauset, Mr. Richie Flores, and Mr. Mark Quiñones and Hugo Duran.
That's great. Let's do it.
Great.
I'm ready.
One, two.
Thank you.
You know, these tunes with just a couple of chords like that, that just actually you have to be pretty, try to be pretty inventive to get around on just those two chords. It's almost like playing a modal tune.
Yes.
Where you just get one change. Yeah. And you really have to think what to do.
They have made statements that it's quite extraordinary or incredible what we can do with just playing a dominant or tonic and dominant or a 1-2-5-4 type change. But again, there's where the synchronization for the percussion and piano and bass synchronize to that wonderful, you know, wraparound that makes it a go. The more changes, the more difficult it is to reach it, even though that we do attain it, you know, within certain composition that we're doing, like behind the horn players. But if you notice that whenever later on, when you give it to a drum solo, the most simple harmonic change, and usually is a dominant or tonic, it makes it work wonderful. And that excitement, that creates the tension and resistance that gives you that climax, you know, when you bring in the full tutti of the orchestration, whatever it may be, the three horns or a larger orchestra, it's definitely going to excite you. I don't guess I'm going to excite you with my music. I know it.
Oh, we're having such an exciting time today. My guest is Eddie Palmieri with his rhythm section. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Now, I would really like to hear you do one of your own pieces again, solo piano.
I will play for you then a composition I wrote for my beautiful wife called Iraida. We will do Iraida.
Okay. Well, listening to that, you know, your wife must be a very wonderful person.
She certainly is.
But she must have a lot of different sides to her. She must be a very complicated person.
She certainly is. And we've been together over 40 years.
Isn't that great? And, you know, people always accuse musicians of being faithless and running around. It's really not true half the time.
Not me.
Not you. You know what I would love to do? Maybe you're willing to experiment at something. And that's you and I just make up a blues or something, and we'll call it Eddie's Blues.
Or?
And we'll just play.
The M.E. Blues.
The M.E. Blues.
Me Blues.
Me Blues. Okay. That worked out.
That's my first blues playing ever.
You're kidding.
In two pianos ever. Thank you.
Well, I'm really glad because you showed me a lot of things I haven't done.
And you took me and guided me on that one. Thank you very much, man.
Well, that's going to be the Eddie and Marion blues. Now, I'm getting kind of greedy. I want to have this rhythm group back in here and play another tune with the whole band.
Okay.
So I'm getting my chops together now.
Well, let's keep it in the blues, and we'll call this one is a composition called EP Blues, that was original VP Blues, but then we uh, re adjusted it, and it's now EP Blues, and we certainly hope that everyone enjoys it. It's going to be another classic. Thank you, man.
Okay. Well, that EP Blues, boy, that was fun for me, as were all the others. Thank you so much for coming and giving us such a wonderful time on Piano Jazz.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on your program. Yes.
Well, thank you. And how about like one more tune which will feature you in all the rhythm section?
That's called La Comparsa.
Okay, I'll just sit here and listen to this, okay?
Yes, yes, here we go. Thank you.
been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and our guest Eddie Palmieri. This program originally aired in 1997. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Shari Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, executive producer Tom Clark. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for the original production was provided in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And by the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.